Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom, what up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I'm ready for the weekend, not just because it's been a long week with first time I've flown. Yeah, I had some travel here. Did a couple of shows for Stadium and the NBA Draft. We'll get into the NBA Draft and the NBA stories later on this hour here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. But weird, right? Like, had to take like two COVID tests, one before I got there, one when I got there, masked up, gloved up for the flight. I was in Chicago. It's like a virtual ghost town, you know? I mean, like, Chicago is a great city. In terms of big cities, I would say, and I love New York. I would say New York can be on a little bit of the overrated side. And I enjoy New York. I would say that the underrated ones in terms of the are D.C. and San Francisco are two kind of underrated ones. Chicago is a remarkable city, but a lot of people are like, well, it's a summer city, but the summer, the weather is really hot. It wasn't cold. It was windy, but really nice. But Chicago's an amazing food city, but the only way you can really get food is by, like, DoorDash or Uber Eats. Right? And then, what's open? Well, Starbucks is open. That's really it. But I felt like I was the only person at this hotel I stayed at, and nobody can come into your room. Nobody cleans your room. Like, you got to kind of clean yourself. It's a zombie apocalypse right now. That's what it feels like. Zombie apocalypse. Who knew that all those zombie apocalypse shows that I didn't watch and movies that I haven't, there's like only one zombie apocalypse movie that I've seen. And that was, what was the Will Smith one? I Am Legend. That's the only zombie apocalypse one that I've actually seen. Who would have known that there, right? We haven't had a zombie, but that's what the cities are like right now. What's Chicago like? I Am Legend. That's, you know, basically. I was on a treadmill by myself, it felt like. Does Byer know? Has he seen I Am Legend? He's like, no. Now, Byer, you watch a lot of TV shows. You don't like a lot of movies. Is there a, what's the big zombie apocalypse? What's the big zombie movie? What's what's called the Living Dead? The Walking Dead?
Walking Dead?
Yeah. Are you a Walking Dead guy?
No. Just like, I'm not big in animation. I'm not big on zombies. Not a big sci-fi guy either.
Okay, so your TV shows are all what, comedies?
Comedies, yeah, cooking shows. Yeah, I was a real big sitcom and game show sort of guy.
Favorite sitcom of all time is what?
King of Queens. Yeah.
King of Queens?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Well. That's a pretty good one.
You and I think, may have spoken about this before, but it's, I also think, like, when you do your favorites of what you are, and then you also try to take a step back and try to have an, like, analytic eye. And, like, the older I get, the funnier Cheers is.
Cheers is hilarious. Cheers is our family show.
Yeah, it is so good. And so good. There's stuff that I didn't catch, obviously, when I was younger watching it. But, you know, we always talk about Seinfeld and Friends as basically, like, the two titans, and it's like I don't think we forget about Cheers, but we just don't put it up there where I think that it should.
Here's where, and look, I love Seinfeld. Love Seinfeld. What's amazing about Seinfeld, which probably goes about Cheers, which is underrated, is it had spinoff show success where Seinfeld never did.
Yeah.
Right? And Friends never did.
Yeah,
Frasier is the big one, but there are others as well. But Frasier became another award-winning show, and it's a spinoff of Cheers.
The amazing thing about Cheers too is you take a main character like Diane, mm-hmm. and then you're able to replace her with Rebecca with great success. Frasier wasn't a part of the original cast, but became so much a part of the cast that he ends up getting his own show. Like, there's. I mean, it just was really, really good.
Yes, it was. Coach died as well.
Coach dies. Woody comes in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, legitimately died. Like, people were like, wait, they killed him off? Like, no. He actually died. And then Woody, you know, first you had the success of Frasier, and then Woody Harrelson becomes a megastar out of it. You know, whereas Ted Danson really didn't do anything else. He had a couple shows, right? He has the show where it's like in heaven.
Yeah, is it the good? No, is it
the good place or something like that? Yeah, the good place. He's been in a couple other things, but yeah, it's really
Curb. He's great in Curb.
Yeah. Of course you can, Ramos. This is your field of expertise.
Well, there was one bad spinoff from Cheers. That was the Torkelsons, which was. What was her name? The waitress, the Rhea Perlman's character.
Oh, really?
Rhea Perlman had a TV show? I didn't know.
She didn't. But her husband, who was married to the blonde girl, they had a spinoff show called The Torkelsons, which was not. It lasted for like less than a season, and then it was.
Yeah, Joey had a spinoff from Friends. That didn't last very long.
Michael Richards' show was that a spinoff?
I don't think Seinfeld had one spinoff show.
Part of it is, and I've said this about NBA players, like why aren't some NBA players and Major League Baseball players, why don't they go into managing and coaching, is they just make so much money and they've traveled so much in their sport that when they're done, they're kind of done. It's part of the reason that Seinfeld didn't have spinoffs, part of it was, at least for a time period, I think they made so much money, they were just done, right? They'd done it for a long time and they were just done. The interesting part about Seinfeld was they would do very few takes, right? It was kind of organic and they just went with it, and it was however they prepared for each of it. So they wasn't as exhausting a show to make as some shows are when you're trying to get it perfect. But that was the other part of Seinfeld. Yeah, you know, King of Queens is a great one. Lee Remini, obviously, Kevin James, Jerry Stiller, Patton Oswalt was in that show as well. Very, very funny show.
Spence.
Very funny show. And I thought, you know, having a guy who works for like essentially UPS, that was good. Now, did Ray Romano's show, was that a spinoff of King of Queens? Would you consider it?
Yeah, and because Ray actually made a couple appearances in King of Queens episodes as well as Ray. Ray's mom was in one of the
episodes. Were they like partner shows? Which one started first? I'm trying to figure out.
Everybody Loves Raymond was first.
Okay, so yeah. King of Queens was sort of kind of is like the same. Yeah. They tried to co-align them. That's a very interesting way of doing it.
Correct.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. We do Fox Sports here, the Doug Gottlieb Show. What happens with TV shows, and one of the reasons that you can't have those spinoffs is you get typecast, right? It's like really hard for us to see. Obviously, Frasier. What's his real name?
Kelsey Frasier. Grammer.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer. Now he's the voice of, is it Sideshow Bob? I think is who he's the voice of in Simpsons. Right now he's done voiceover work, a ton of voiceover work, and of course he's the bear, Lotso Huggin' Bear, in Toy Story 3. So his voice is still powerful, but you get typecast. Right, it's hard for us to see Kelsey Grammer as anything other than Dr. Frasier Crane. And I'm interested this week in a team that's kind of become typecast, the Green Bay Packers. Because we think of the Green Bay Packers as Aaron Rodgers and a team that when they get a lead, rushes the passer well, but kind of soft defensively, right? Like they're seen as you can blow them off the ball on both sides. And I know David Bakhtiari is a very good offensive lineman. He's rewarded this week with a contract extension. So there's a little lack of reality to it. But if you were to say what the Green Bay Packers are, it's Aaron Rodgers and kind of a soft team. And they go as he goes. And if he throws picks, they got no chance because the defense can't stop anybody. And once you start running and you start kind of going downhill against them, then they're cooked. Then they're on the field forever. And it's hard to break out of that typecast. They're taking on an Indianapolis Colts team, which has an outstanding offensive line. Outstanding. And here's their chance to kind of prove it, to get us thinking that they're better than they are. And I know that the Colts are only averaging, I think, 105.8 yards per game and only 3.8 yards per rush, but they're built with some maulers up front. And more than anything, their defense is really, their offense is seen as pretty good at running the football and mauling you, and their defense is outstanding. This is a big-time defense. The Colts have a championship-caliber defense. We've told you before, we think they're a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl team, and last week, Phillip Rivers held it together and played well, and of course, the Titans had a special teams disaster or three, which allowed them to get separation, and they won the game, and he had great stats. But I think it's really interesting that you have a team, you know, like the Green Bay Packers, who has been typecast as being soft, and a chance to prove to us that they're not this upcoming weekend. There's a lot of really interesting games in the NFL. That may be the most sneaky interesting game because Colts have a championship caliber defense, and there's not a ton of, if we have to say who's the best team in the NFC, we should say the Green Bay Packers, but because they didn't blow out the Jaguars, because of the losses when they just felt like they've gotten mauled, there's not a buy-in, and they get typecast as a soft team. Coming up next, I think this one NFL quarterback has struggled with who he is in the league, and now he's starting to figure it out. I'll explain that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Kevin Stefanski was asked about Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski, first-year head coach of the Cleveland Browns, asked about Baker Mayfield. He understands what we're trying to do. He understands the game plan inside out. And I think what's fascinating, like, look, it was really hard to throw the football in week 8. They had 35 to 50 mile an hour winds. Should be pointed out their game at home against the Texans week 10. Game was delayed due to weather, 25 mile an hour winds, some as high as 70 miles an hour. And of course, this week, there's a high probability of rain and wind. Baker said this about playing in bad weather. We just need to take care of the ball. But Baker's learning he didn't have to win games by himself. You know, he's tried to do it in the past. He's, what was the line from Top Gun? His ego's writing checks that his body can't cash, right? That's what he was doing when he was feeling dangerous. He's feeling dangerous previously. Not feeling dangerous nearly as much. So, look, I like Baker. I like where he's growing in. He's figuring out where he stands in the NFL, and he needs an offense to kind of work around him and work for him, and he can be a part of it. My picks are upcoming, but, you know, some foreshadowing for you. They found a way against the Texans. They found a way against the Bengals. They found a way against the Colts. They're not a great team. He's not a great quarterback, but he's not bad. And I think he's learning where he stands in the NFL. And, you know, look, success in life, professional sports, relationships, we discussed it's about fit, but it's also about knowing who you are, having realistic expectations of self. If you ask yourself to do something, I tell this to my son all the time, like, hey, look, if you want to be successful hitting a baseball, like, we got to hit a baseball more often. If you want to hit a baseball, be more successful shooting a basketball, you got to shoot a basketball more often. Very simple. Otherwise, you're asking yourself to do something that you're really not capable of doing. So I think Baker's starting to figure it out. Now, look, they got the Eagles are banged up, then the Jaguars. There should be two wins before the Titans, the Ravens, and the Giants are improved, and the Jets. There are, at minimum, four games in which they'll be a favorite remaining on their schedule. You get to 10 wins, you should make the playoffs. You would consider that a successful season, regardless of what we think of Baker's ceiling.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Finally, Doug, Fox Sports' John Morosi says the Dodgers are exploring a trade for Rockies third baseman Nolan Arenado. Back to you.
Bringing Nolan Arenado home? Is that the deal?
Yeah, they're changing their name, too. They're going to be the National League All-Star Team instead of the Dodgers. My goodness.
So does that mean that what happens? Is Justin Turner up? What happens to Justin Turner?
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. Yeah. Does that mean he doesn't come back, huh? Yeah, they treat him like he's got the Rona, which he did. So that would be, Nolan Arenado would be pretty amazing. What goes back in return? John, what was the
I've Gavin seen that Lux story. Probably yeah. Lux. You move. You also can give up probably a couple other pitchers. The starting pitcher, maybe Gosselin.
Yeah, Tony Gonsolin's name was thrown about.
That's it.
There are a couple other players, but names that.
No, I mean, there'd be a bunch. I mean, the one thing that the Dodgers need to keep an eye on is they do need pitching, right? Like, it's let's not act like they were an incredible team. But they got to figure out who is going to be their closer. Obviously, bullpen does matter. And I think a lot of these teams that have a lot of money, they think, hey, look, we can cobble together a bullpen because we have more money than somebody else. But you're going to need starting pitching. And whatever the season looks like when it gets back online. I think it's interesting Nolan Arenado is going to the Dodgers. How come nobody ever dreams of playing for the comeback? He's from Orange County. Why didn't he dream of playing for the Angels? Why can't we figure that out? I guess they already got. I guess they already have a third baseman. Already have a third baseman. Huh. I mean, I'd ask you, Ryan Music. I mean, are you with me? Like, they're obviously very good. They're obviously very good at third base. But Ramos, like anybody worth their, Anthony Rendon's awesome. I'd rather have Nolan Arenado. Plus, he's from Orange County. Like,
yeah, Rendon is very good. He had a very good season. The knock on Arenado has always been he plays in Colorado, which is always a knock for any of the Rockies players, right? He plays in Colorado, so you know it's different.
Well, inflates your numbers.
That's right. Yeah. That's what they say. I mean, I love Arenado. When he signed that big contract with Colorado, but I think last year, the 2 years ago, I was like, it's done. But you know what? Any long-term contract is never done, right? In any sport.
Apparently not, except of course for Albert Pujols. That thing is done. That thing is done. Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's continue with this conversation as John Middlecoff joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. First, let me start with hoops. So, are we willing to say the Warriors are dead, or do we think Oubre extends this and gives them a chance?
I'd say dead to win a championship. I would say not dead to. I mean, Steph Curry, you know, still should be, when healthy, one of the better players in the league. Wiseman, you know, I was doing some YouTube studying last night, playing with Draymond, catching lobs from him and Steph. I actually think they should be pretty competitive. You know, now if Steph gets hurt and misses 20, 30 games, they'd be screwed. But if you tell me Steph and Draymond, you know, play 85, 90% of the games with all these, like, they'll be fine. Now, for the first time, I mean, there's always been pressure on Steve. But, like, his team was pretty good, right? I mean, now it's for the first time. It's like, okay, let's out-coach some of these guys, you know? Mm. Let's see what he's got. And they're, you know, we're about to find out. This is normal NBA, right?
Yeah, I guess, look, Steph's been hurt a great deal. I think we would all understand they held him out longer last year than they had to. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not sure I understand the, Steph gets hurt thing, only because you could say that about anybody, right? Couldn't you?
Well,
is there anybody could say, they get hurt?
The last 3 years, they did, like, injuries, rest. Like, he has to play. He just, they haven't, their main guys could sit out. Like, they were main culprits during the Durant era of, like, yeah, we're just all taking the night off. Like, literally just on the sideline, didn't play. Like, they're going to have to actually play now. Like, no Kawhis. You know, setup. Like, he's gonna have to play a lot, and he hasn't done that in a couple years.
Yeah, they're
Draymond too. You know, Draymond kind of fixed the spot.
Well, Draymond is gonna have to be a more effective offensive player too. The thing about the Wiseman thing, which I don't really get, is, you know, people talk about lobs and running pick and roll, and they run the fewest number of pick and rolls in the league. They're not a pick and roll team. It's not how they play, and so that's gonna be the challenge to this team. And this is, I really like that they got Nico Mannion, because you got to play Steph on and off the ball some. And they haven't been able to do that since really Leandro Barbosa left the team, right? They haven't had another kind of point now. They've been able to do it with Kevin Durant was kind of a point guard. Draymond Green can be some point guard in terms of bringing the ball up the court. And, you know, Andre Iguodala was kind of like a point forward, point center as well. They don't really have, like, Wiggins is not, Oubre is not, Wiseman is not. It's a completely different style and team than one in which they've been successful with.
You know what's funny is Nico Mannion, like on Warriors Twitter when they drafted him, everyone was making fun of him. And you see the picture, you know, the redhead white guy. You go. I just went to YouTube, watched the guy's highlights. I mean, holy moly, that kid can play. That guy is talented.
Very talented. Very talented. Got to shoot it better, you know. Got to guard a little bit better. And obviously, it's really interesting that so many point guards went before him. Some of it was just a numbers crunch. But yes, he is a very talented. Of course, Pace Manning, his dad was drafted by the Warriors going back to, I think, 1983 or 84 or whatever.
Yeah.
John Middlecoff joining us. He did not join us to talk basketball. He joined us to talk football. Let's start with last night. You know, I get the let Russ cook thing, but I thought the playing it safe is the better play. Like when he gets a little bit too wild, it's a little bit too much for him. What were your thoughts on how they chose to attack Arizona with their offense?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had some big shots in the arsenal for DK. I mean, they thought that they could expose him there. And I think they just needed to get Russ, who hadn't played well the last couple weeks, had made just terrible turnovers, going again. But you see, like, their offensive line, you know, the Arizona's not great on defense, and it can get Russ killed. You know, part of it isn't just letting him cook. I think it's part Pete just wants to preserve the best player on his team. When you're throwing it 50 times a game and your quarterback is 5'10", and I know he is an incredible, like, he's on a LeBron James-level body workout, but you got to be careful with the guy because their entire franchise hinges on him. I also think part of the problem is they get into this mode, and I don't blame them. DK has become like a budding star. Lockett has, you know, 75 million touchdowns the last 4 years. Like, those are two of their better players. But deep down to Pete's core, back to USC, back to when he was even younger before that, like, he wants to run the ball and play defense. They can't play defense now because their defense, I mean, they made some big plays last night, and KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner are good, but I had zero, and I let me repeat, zero faith that Arizona wasn't going to go down the field and score. Now, they didn't, but I think everyone sitting on their couch believed their defense was going to ruin the game. Because ultimately, you know, let Russ cook is probably taking on a life of its own. Like, they're going to go as far as he's going to take them. But that defense, man, it's just their DBs. You know, Kyler made a couple questionable plays. Now, it looked like he was a little banged up, tough environment. You know, but short week, but still
tough, I mean, environment. There's nobody there.
I just mean, yeah, you're right. It fell out on TV. Right?
It did. They're piping in that sound stuff.
It did. Maybe that's a trick me. I remember watching the fourth quarter thing. God, it's pretty loud.
Football's done a really good job. Baseball did a really good job as well of pumping in that sound. You're like, wait, are there people there?
I thought the big winner, though, Doug, last night, like, we don't talk about this word enough with quarterbacks, but, you know, any coach you talk to, toughness, toughness, toughness. Kyler is a tough little guy. I mean, he gets slammed to the ground. Clearly, his shoulder wasn't right. And as that game went on, he kept making throws as guys were blasting him. He's clearly not scared. He is a special player. I mean, he is. I thought he was going to be really good. Anyone that watched him at Oklahoma could tell, like, he had special physical characteristics. But even probably Cliff, he has to have exceeded everyone's expectation because he is a fantastic talent, and he's becoming a fantastic player.
There's a lot of interest. I would love to know what really went on at A&M, right? Like, his dad sent him there. His dad had gone there, played for Sumlin. He got some chance to start as a freshman, maybe a little bit too early, but they didn't let him throw that much. He was more used as a runner, and then he left. He got benched, and he left. And probably ended up being the best thing that ever happened to him, but it is.
I think it definitely did.
Yeah, and then you get a chance to sit out and learn and sit behind Baker and get better. And also he played baseball. There's a lot of things in his.
You could argue the three straight guys, Baker's path was different than Jalen and Kyler, but all those guys that ended up at Oklahoma, I mean, it changed their life. I mean, Baker went number one overall. This guy went number one overall. And even Jalen, who I would have taken like the sixth round as a running back, got drafted in the second round because of Lincoln. I mean,
yeah.
If you're a quarterback and you have any question, I would just lean Lincoln because he has made now three straight guys a lot of money. Definitely the two. I mean, Kyler probably would have figured it out, but Baker and Jalen.
Yep.
I mean, holy moly.
You mentioned defenses. I view the Green Bay Packers as having a reputation that is earned of being a little bit soft. And I don't view the Colts that way. I think their defense is outstanding. I think their offensive line is pretty good. You know, you and I have talked, feel like they're a quarterback away. Feels like a big test for the Packers. Like, that's a championship caliber defense when healthy for the Colts. And we'll see what the Packers are kind of made of. Is that putting too much into this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a coach tell me that he thought the Colts were the best front seven he's seen in a long time. I mean, that front seven is big time. So the defense, they have, you know, an elite defense. Can they consistently – I mean, they took Jonathan Taylor, who, I mean, I really liked it at Wisconsin. But you remember – I mean, you'll know this. When Melvin Gordon first got to the league, he was awesome in college. Then he got to the league that rookie year. It's like, oh, my God, did they miss on this guy? And then the next couple years, he became a really good player. Kind of happened with Jonathan Taylor because you go, well, the Colts' offensive line is really good. How's he not running? And then they put in the other guys, and they're just gashing people. If Jonathan Taylor is going to have a breakout game, it's going to be this game with Hines. To me, the game plan would be you run it down their throat, you control the clock, and then you just kind of let your defense operate. That gives the Colts the best chance to win. The Packers' defense just consistently gets shoved around. But now can Aaron, you know, and Devontae and that offense make enough plays? Devontae, I know he didn't practice a couple days ago. It feels like I haven't read anything, so I'm assuming he's playing. He's playing. So, I mean, it just can he make enough plays? Now, granted, the way that division is shaping up, I mean, they're going to cruise to win the division. So I actually think this game is bigger for the Colts. There are a lot of big swing games this week, Doug, in the AFC. You know, Titans play the Ravens. Obviously, this Indy game. You have the Raiders playing the Chiefs. You have all these teams that are bunched at 6-3. You know, these next couple weeks are going to kind of swing to where who's in position to kind of be in control in December and who's kind of fighting the uphill battle. If you're Indy and you win this game and you look over and then all of a sudden the Ravens beat the Titans, I mean, you're in full control to win the division and vice versa. If Tennessee wins that game and you lose to the Packers, all of a sudden now you're fighting. You got to play the Raiders here in a couple weeks to get that wild card. I think the AFC like is a lot more drama filled right now than the NFC just because it's much deeper with teams that you're like, yeah, that team could legitimately make the playoffs.
What do you think of the decision to start Taysom Hill?
Yeah, when I woke up and saw that, I was surprised. I just had assumed. I understand looking back, right, when Drew goes down against the Niners, Taysom, if you don't build your game plan that week, his part of the game plan is like playing tight end, playing running back, doing all that stuff, so you're just going to go to the backup. But we saw it last year, and they just went with Teddy. Now, obviously, Teddy, I think, was the highest-paid backup in the league last year, so it was a little different circumstances. But one thing people are like, oh, Jameis is going to just throw a bunch of picks for Sean Payton. I'm like, well, they don't really play with the Saints like they do with the Bucks. Watch the Bucks. Like, Arians. He wants to throw the ball down the field. The Saints throw wheel routes to their running back and slants to Michael Thomas. You know, it actually was much more conducive for Jameis to have a lot of success. Again, I was shocked. I mean, honestly, I was absolutely shocked. Now, clearly Peyton loves the guy, and you paid him, so he's under contract next year. You might as well, I guess, take a swing and see can he actually be the starting quarterback so he could just be the starting quarterback moving forward. But I couldn't you say the same thing about Jameis? Like, what if Jameis is really good and you just kept him and just keep having Taysom doing what you're doing? Now, maybe Jameis, they're not as comfortable with him, you know, start to finish running a game. I don't know. I guess it's not confusing because Peyton loves Taysom Hill, but it's a little confusing that they're kind of risking, you know, I mean, if the Packers and them are fighting for this one seed and assuming that it stays with the seven seeds and not the eight, that one seed's a pretty big deal. You know, all these games really matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is how much they paid him. And he and I had discussed this, and I'm sure you've talked about this with him, is he's a guy, this is what he believes the quarterback of the future looks like, you know? And
he's not wrong. He's not wrong, the mobility. But it's just, this guy's never really thrown the ball in the pros. He's 30 years old. How many attempts does he have? Two?
18.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I would live... And typically, you know, coaches live more in the immediate. Like, Jameis probably gives you the best chance to win. But big picture, you have this guy under contract, gives you an opportunity. It's still pretty bold. I mean, it's going to be the most – there's probably not a game this week that's going to have a bigger microscope around it, right? We're all going to be talking about it. Everyone's going to watch. It's a big moment for the guy. I mean, what if he plays well? I think Drew Brees is out, right, at minimum 2 weeks. So, assuming he's going to get two starts at least, what if he's really good? Like, what if their offense is way more explosive with him? Does Drew come back? Is there, you know, is that a possibility that they just ride it out with this guy?
I guess
there is an element he's going to bring that Drew clearly doesn't have.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's the Brock Osweiler, Peyton Manning sort of thing, right? Where they gave Brock kind of a similar shot at a similar time at the end of Peyton Manning's career, and it wasn't good enough, and they gave it back to him. I would say that they go back to Drew, but maybe they
no matter what.
Probably, because he actually played pretty well here the last couple of games once he had Michael Thomas back.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably take like 9 touchdowns in 2 games to make that move. I mean, Drew Brees is still Drew Brees. And the difference, to me, the Peyton Manning thing, I remember going when the Raiders played Peyton Manning that year. I mean, he could barely throw it like 10 yards. Like, Drew, even though he's slipping, isn't nearly that bad.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, let's get to a couple other things kind of quickly here. I'm looking at New York, and I feel like Daniel Jones is starting to evolve into a guy that's a little bit better than even we thought. Like, he had the turnover problems, and maybe I'm overselling just one win over Philadelphia. Where are you on Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles' defense is pretty bad. Now, he looked really good in that game. I actually think even in some of his games where they've obviously lost, he shows a lot of talent. It just gets down to, is he just going to be, you know, Alex Smith, like this generation's Alex Smith, but have Jameis in him? Like, you can't – part of being Alex Smith is not turning the ball over, is knowing your limitations. And when you see Daniel Jones play, sometimes he acts like he's Josh Allen or something. Like, bro, you got to know who you are. Because then you see him make these – I mean, he had another run in that Eagles game where that guy can fly. You know, I mean, he's growing on me, but I'm pumping the brakes on just making a, you know, statement on playing the Eagles. But he definitely, like, he's clearly a high-character guy. You know, Duke, they loved him there. He'd be like the Patriot Joe Judge-type player. If he keeps playing well – it actually helps the Giants, right, to not have to worry about a quarterback, give him another year and just draft another player. Because say this about the Giants, whether Joe Judge fought the guy or not, like, his team's playing really, really hard. And they're starting to believe in whatever he's selling. And if you just have a young quarterback that, even if he's never going to be, well, he's not, right, some top five quarterback, but if he can be like a top 14, 12 quarterback, to me, you can build around that guy. I mean, they'll do that all day long. So I actually think Daniel Jones has a lot to play for in this next, you know, month and a half.
Where are you on Tua?
He looked a lot better the last 2 weeks. I thought he looked a lot better last week. In terms, one thing, you know, you just forget because you hadn't seen him play in a while, his release and how fast he gets rid of the ball is pretty awesome. You know, his arm is not what the other two got. You know, it's probably not quite Burrow, but it's not clearly not Herbert. I'm more bullish on him after last week, just how quick he gets rid of the football. He looks more athletic. Maybe I just assumed because of the hip, his athleticism and his movement wouldn't be great, but he's a pretty quick twitch athlete in short areas, which as a quarterback is kind of all you need. I mean, you see it last, like Russell, obviously Kyler's an elite athlete, but you see Russell now, who's no longer like that level mover, but he's very quick in short areas, which is huge, right? Because even Brady, who's like a bad athlete for NFL standards, has always been great in the little areas. Well, Tua's just a better athlete than that, and he can move. Keeps plays alive. His accuracy is pretty awesome. I mean, he puts the ball right on spots, and he's not, you know, he's not playing with much. I mean, you look at their offensive roster, so he definitely has grown on me the last couple of weeks.
Awesome stuff. Middlecoff, thanks so much for joining us, dude. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too, Doug. See ya.
All right, Three and Out is the podcast. John Middlecoff is the host. You should download it, listen to it. You'll learn a ton about football, some things that you will not hear anywhere else. Are we ready to trust the Seahawks defense? Wait to hear what Shannon Sharp has to say next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1, we call it.
And now.
What's up, the Fox?
This is Shannon Sharp on Undisputed talking about the Seahawks win last night.
Seattle won the ball game. They were able to run the football. Carlos Hyde coming back was a big, 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 big boost for them. And they didn't have to rely so much on Russell throwing the ball 35, 40 times. He did not put the ball in harm's way. But I'm still not convinced that their defense makes them a contender. I think they can. They threw the ball. They run. Now, if they run the ball like this and can keep their defense off the field, okay, all bets are off. But I don't believe they're going to continue to be able to run the ball like this, 165 yards last night. So I thought that was the biggest difference in the ball game, and Russ not turning it over.
He's right. The defense didn't play well, and Carlos Dunlap made one big play. And remember, I guess the most troubling part about Arizona giving up that last sack was it was against a three-man rush with dropping eight into coverage. So, you know, some of it is about Arizona just not blocking and Carlos Dunlap making a great play more than defense being any good. Like, I think by now we've gotten a sense of what Seattle is, and Seattle knows what Seattle is. That's why they went and made the trade for Carlos Dunlap, to try and hide the fact that they're not, you know, that's why they made the Jamal Adams trade. Like, they know they're bad. They're going to try and do the best they can, throw as much at it as they can in the short term, because they know they got Russell Wilson, and they look at the NFC and they're like, oh, I got a shot at this thing because the rest of the league's not that good. I think all of that is that's a very reasonable and thoughtful take by Shannon Sharp. What does the Fox say? Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, boys, we got Thanksgiving week ahead of us. It's interesting. Byer just told me, like, he loves cooking shows. Now, Byer, do you like cooking for Thanksgiving? That's the big question.
No, I usually leave that to my wife and father-in-law. They handle all the turkey and all of that stuff. So
you just like the eating and watching it being made. You like it, watch it being made. You're like, oh, that's amazing. Yes. I love that. And you're going to make that yourself? No, I'm not.
I'm actually a fussy eater. And so even like the foods that I seen make, I find it interesting.
What are you, 5 months old?
Yeah, it's like an 8-year-old diet.
You're really getting ready for this parenting thing. You're like, he's a fussy eater.
I can't wait.
His tummy doesn't feel so good.
We're
going
to load up on chicken tenders, you know, in a few years.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be great.
Well, you got. You got puffs, all the really soft stuff, the cheesy cheese puffs and whatever. The pirate's booty. You need to learn about pirate's booty. That'll be very early on.
All right,
as well.
Okay.
They kind of gnaw on that sort of stuff. You know, you can stick green beans in anything with kids. They don't know any better. Ramos, do you cook on Thanksgiving?
That would be a negative.
But Suzanne cooks, I'm sure.
Like that would be a positive, yes.
I'm sure. You're so happy, she's got to be a fabulous cook.
She is a wonderful cook. In fact, the other day I brought something in and both Dan and Ryan are like, wow, what's that great smell? I go, that Suzanne made some dinner last night, and I brought it in, the leftovers, and they were both like, that smells really good. And it tastes really good as well.
So, Music, this is your first Thanksgiving in your new home, first Thanksgiving married. Are you going to the in-laws? Are you doing it at your house? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing it at her parents' house.
All right. And now, are you cooking at all, or are you just eating?
We will be helping with the side dishes.
Huh.
So cooking, I guess.
What is your side dish? Like, do they give you a side dish already? Do you get to
Correct.
Choose what you're going to make?
We did like kind of like a bit of a draft. So we're getting mashed potatoes and green beans.
Are you going to leave the skin on the mashed potatoes?
Partially, yes.
What kind of potatoes are you going to leave? Are you going to use?
Probably russet.
Okay. Solid, old school, kind of classic.
And just for clarification, Doug, John wanted to make sure that he cooks in the bedroom, just not in the kitchen.
Whoa!
John wanted to make that clear.
Very nice.
Hey! It's a family show, kids.
Something Suzanne's very thankful for.
Well, hey, yeah. Chef Ramos cooking it up. He's cooking up love. He's a love cook. He just heats it up. We're going to do that. We're going to break it out into like everybody's going to get their own dish. As the father, I am going to do the turkey. I had one turkey faux pas in the past where I left the lid on. We'll get to that next hour, but getting ready for Thanksgiving week. Biggest story in the NFL right now, and we should have seen it coming. Tell you what, it is next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.